Hand and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In just a moment, we're going to begin reading in the second part of verse 7 and verse 8. We're beginning a new series this morning called You Fit. And this morning's message is entitled Getting Spiritually Fit. Getting Spiritually Fit. You know, physical fitness is a $1 billion industry in the United States, and it's continually increasing. And there's any day of the week that you can turn on the TV on cable, and you can find infomercials galore promoting the latest breakthrough, the latest, greatest fitness technology gadget with creative names like the Abdominizer, the Core Master, Body Wizard, and then there are the videos. Buns of steel, six-pack abs, beach body workout. A few years ago, I got caught in by one of those infomercials, and I bought one of those video exercise workout things that promised that within 6 weeks, you could reshape your whole body. And I was like, 6 weeks, I can do this. And I got the DVDs. And in 6 weeks, I couldn't even learn the moves. I didn't have the rhythm or whatever it took. It's on the shelf, collecting dust. Now give me somebody like Richard Simmons and Sweating with the Oldies, where he's using regular people, not models, you know, to work out, and people who are a little bit heavy and have struggled with their weight, and they're doing ordinary moves. I can get that. I can get that. But a lot of these gadgets, they're for professional athletes. And they all tout the same promise. If you'll just follow their training program, you can be physically fit and have the body of your dreams in just days. And with billions of dollars of fitness machines, videos, and memberships in gym being sold every year, a recent report from the National Research Council and the Institute of Medicine has declared that the United States ranks last as the unhealthiest developed nation in the world. Last. And obesity is cited as one of the leading causes of disease in America. So what happened to all of these machines? What happened to all these videos? What happened to all these gym memberships? What happened to these billions of dollars spent on fitness? Most of the equipment and most of the videos are unused. They're unused. We buy the stuff. We join the gym. And it remains unused. Now, physical fitness is important to me, and I try to eat healthy and to work out regularly, but it's not easy. Physical fitness doesn't happen overnight. It requires committing to a routine and sticking to it over the long haul. And the same is true spiritually as well. Read with me, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at the second part of verse 7 into verse 8. Paul says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. And then he says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Godliness has great value, or value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I like the way that J.B. Phillips' translation renders this verse. It says, take time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Folks, the Bible says exercise is good. It says exercise has some benefit. But despite the fact that it can keep us physically healthy in this life, Paul says there's something greater. Godliness has great benefit in all areas of our life, both for this earthly life and for the life to come. Simply put, Paul says it's a good thing to be physically fit, but it's much more important to be spiritually fit, to be spiritually fit. But how do you become spiritually fit? I mean, you never see any infomercials on TV about spiritual fitness. Hey, that's an idea we could come up with. Maybe we could develop some spiritual fitness device, call it the Soul Master. Or a spiritual workout video called Power Prayers. Or Souls of Steel. Well, maybe not. So how do we get spiritually fit? How do we get spiritually fit? Well, the steps are really quite simple. It requires the same three elements that physical fitness requires: a balanced diet, regular exercise, and restorative rest. Those are the three elements that are essential to spiritual fitness. So let's look at them one by one. Getting spiritually fit requires a balanced diet. To be spiritually fit, we need the right nutrition. One of the reasons the article cited for poor health in America is the abundance of fast food. People are eating the wrong thing. I read what I think is a joke, but it's probably more real than we like to admit. A teacher asked her students one day to name the four major food groups. And one student quickly put his hand in the air, and when she called on him, he said, "McDonald's, Taco Bell, Domino's, and Kentucky Fried." I think it's a joke. I hope it's a joke. But what we eat is so important because it's a fuel for our bodies. It provides the energy our body needs. But if we're putting the wrong fuel in our body can't function properly. For instance, if you're eating a lot of carbs, they may momentarily give you a sugar high. But the rest of the day, you're going to crash and you're going to feel like you don't have any energy to do anything. And then you're probably going to go out and buy some five-hour energy drinks, and you're going to hype yourself up on guarana or caffeine of some sort, and you're going to be in this unhealthy cycle. So if we put the wrong fuel in our body, then our body can't function properly. And the same is true spiritually. Jesus said this. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." So what Jesus is doing is he's likening the word of God to the physical nutrition that our body needs. We are more than just physical beings, and in the same way that our body needs bread or food every day, our spirit needs to daily eat spiritual bread, which is the word of God. So let's ask ourselves this morning, what is our spiritual diet like? And how nutritious is our spiritual diet? Where do you get your spiritual nutrition? Do you get it at a fast food restaurant, listening to the radio for 15 minutes on your way to work? Do you get it turning on Christian TV and listening to it in the background while you vacuum or while you read the paper or do something else? Where do you get your spiritual nutrition? Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 4:6, the verse right before what we read, he said, "We need to be nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine," good teaching. We need to be nourished in the words of faith and of good teaching. Now, I dare say that in the same way that many people run out of the house with no time to eat breakfast, which is supposed to be the most important meal of the day, and they have no time for breakfast, all they do is get a cup of coffee on the run, and then because all they did was get a cup of coffee when they get to work and somebody has brought in a dozen donuts, they grab a donut, which we know how unhealthy those are. And then at lunchtime, we're on the sugar loaf from the donut, so we're hungry, and we drive through, and we get a burger somewhere with fries because we're so hungry. And we're eating all these things that are not really nutrition for our body. And the same way that hurry is causing us to have bad nutritional habits in the physical realm, I dare say that the same thing is happening spiritually. Spiritually. Our hurry is causing us spiritual malnutrition. Dr. John Barnett, Bible teacher and author, said, "Spiritual malnutrition is one of the great dangers of 21st century life. A malnourished life is a weak, aimless, and often defeated spiritual life. The vital byproducts of a nourished soul are absent." Do you hear that? Spiritual malnutrition is one of the greatest dangers of 21st century Christian life. You see, if we are not disciplining ourselves to eat a healthy, balanced diet of God's word, and it takes discipline. How many of you know that even in our physical diet, it takes discipline? I mean, you have to work at it because it is so easy to grab for those things, and they seem so appealing to grab for those things that are not nutritious. And in the same way it takes discipline to eat a balanced physical diet, It takes discipline to eat a balanced spiritual diet, a balanced diet of God's word. And when we fail to eat a balanced diet of God's word, we are missing so much of what God has promised and provided for us. God's word cleanses us, Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. See, there are certain foods we need to eat that cleanse our body. Because what they do is they work in such a manner to take out the toxins out of our body. Well, in the same way, when we eat the word of God, it cleanses our soul as we take heed to the word of God. If we want to live a godly life, if we want to be cleansed from the sins of this world, we need to be nourished up in his word daily. God's word guides us. It directs us. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we are not daily in God's word, then we are going to be groping our way through life in the darkness. And how many of you know that when you're in the darkness and you're groping, you trip over things, you fall, you run into things? Without the word of God, we're groping in the darkness and we're missing the guidance that God has promised and provided for us. And it's no wonder that we make so many mistakes, things that are unhealthy for our lives spiritually. God's word brings joy to our soul. It brings joy to our soul. Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. His word brings joy to our soul. When we daily nourish ourselves through the consistent reading and the study of God's word, it produces strong, growing, healthy, and vibrant spiritual lives that are faithful and productive for God. Jack Peters writes, food brings nourishment to your body. God's word brings nourishment to our soul. So how do we get nourishment from God's word? Well, he lays out a plan. He said, first, we need to bite it. When you bite something, you are taking a portion of it into yourself. Isn't that what you do? So we can't just have the Bible up on a shelf somewhere. We've got to take it down and we've got to bite a portion of it. Then he says, you need to chew it. And when we chew the word of God, what we're doing is we're thinking about what it means for us. We're meditating on it. We're trying to hear what God is saying to us. What obedience is he asking of us? What promise is he giving to us? What encouragement is he speaking in our life? What direction is he giving us? How is this speaking to us? What is God asking of us? What does God desire us to do? And then after we've chewed on it, we need to swallow it, he said. We need to make it a part of our lives. We need to pray it into our lives. We need to ask God to change us. We need to ask God to make his word a reality in our lives. And then he said, we need to digest it. When we have digested God's word, then it becomes a part of our life. We have assimilated into ourselves, which means that we are now obeying God's word. And the end result is spiritual growth and vitality. We are nourished up spiritually. We need to daily spend time in God's word if we want to be spiritually fit, and we need to regularly spend time under the teaching of God's word. That's what Paul said. He said we need to be in the word and we need to be taught the word. That's how we are nourished up. And so when we talk about not just getting the word into our life daily, that would be having a time of daily devotions. But now we're talking about being taught the word of God. Now we're talking about how often and how regularly do we sit under the solid teaching of God's word. How many of you think that if you eat just one balanced, nutritious meal a week, you're going to be healthy? The rest of the week you eat junk food, but once a week you eat a balanced, nutritious meal. Are you going to be healthy? How many of you think if you come to church one service a week and eat a balanced meal of the teaching of God's word, that you're going to be spiritually healthy? How many of you think that? Not one hand went up. Great, I'm going to see you tonight and Wednesday night. Hallelujah to the Lord. Praise God. I'm so glad we're in agreement. Praise God. This is wonderful. Hallelujah. Can't wait to see you tonight. Praise the Lord. To be spiritually fit, we need to have the right nutritionist. We need to have the right nutritionist. Oftentimes, athletes will work with a nutritionist to develop a diet plan for their particular body type and needs. They need someone trained in nutrition to teach them how to eat. Even some celebrities. I mean, several years ago when Oprah went through her fitness thing and lost all her weight, she had a personal nutritionist that was preparing her meals for her. I said, wow, if I had a personal nutritionist, I could probably lose all that weight myself. But anyway, they need someone trained in nutrition to teach them how to eat. 1 Timothy 4:6, Paul exhorts Timothy that as a good minister of Christ, he must instruct others in the words of faith and teachings that he has followed. Folks, this is where the preaching and teaching of God's word comes in. It is vital. We need to expose ourselves as often and as regularly as possible to a consistent diet of the preaching and teaching of God's word. And let me just put this in. When you're working with a nutritionist, you work with one nutritionist. Am I right? You don't go to this nutritionist today and say, well, give me a diet plan. And then tomorrow you go to another nutritionist. Because, you know, they all have different perspectives and different views. You work with one nutritionist. What am I saying by that? I'm saying we come to church on Sunday morning. And then we listen to something else on the radio. And then we listen to something else on TV. And a lot of times they're all confusing and have different perspectives. We need to work with one trusted nutritionist. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to listen to radio. I'm not saying it's bad to listen to Christian TV or anything like that. But we need to have a solid diet, and we're following one nutritionist. That's where the local church that you're a part of, where you have trusted pastors and teachers, come in as key. We need to expose ourselves as often and as regularly as possible to the consistent diet. Not somebody's diet over here and somebody's diet over here and somebody, but a consistent diet of the preaching and teaching of God's word. Not a hodgepodge mixture of some preacher on the radio and some preacher on TV. Now, I'm not saying don't listen to that. But if you're having a consistent diet of his word here, when you listen to the radio and TV, you're going to be able to discern what is not right. A while back, I was talking to somebody, and they were listening to someone that has a cultic influence, a cultic following. You should see actual segments of the services that he has on the internet. And you can see the false teachings that are there, clear as day. And somebody from this church had been listening regularly to that person. And could not discern the false teachings. Why? Because they're only here on Sunday morning. None of you, I'm sure. But if we have a nourished soul where we have been taught consistently the Word of God, we are going to be able to see. And when we exposed the false teachings to this person and showed it to them, they were like, wow. They could see it when we showed it to them, but they weren't picking up on it. Why? Because there wasn't that constant nourishment of their soul in a consistent diet of the preaching and teaching of God's word. We need a balanced diet, as Paul said, of words of faith and the teaching, solid teaching of God's word. Words of faith are words that encourage hope, that build faith, that stir expectancy, and we need that kind of preaching. Amen? We need the kind of preaching that stirs faith and builds expectancy. Last Sunday night, if you were here, we had a glory hallelujah time. We were preaching about if God be for us, who can be against us? We had words of faith that encouraged the body of Christ and stirred that spirit of expectancy. But you know what? If you weren't here, you missed that meal of words of faith. You missed that meal. Now, you got the morning meal, which was doctrine. It was teaching on service. You got that meal. But you didn't get the words of encouragement. See, so you're only getting part of a meal. Part of a balanced diet. That's why we need to be in church more than just Sunday morning. Because we're only getting part of a balanced diet. It's like just eating breakfast and not eating anything else all day long. We need a whole balanced diet. Doctrine, words of faith, encourage and bring expectancy. But doctrine teaches, corrects, instructs, and equips for acts of service. to God. That's what the Bible tells us. Folks, I love you, but you'll never be spiritually fit eating at church once a week. You say, well, I have devotions at home. That's great, but Paul says the teaching and preaching of God's word. You can't get that at home on your own, see. Some of us, that's it for our diet. We come to church Sunday morning, and we survive on that for the rest of the week. We don't come back Sunday night. We don't come back Wednesday night. We're not involved in Sunday school. We're not involved in a life group. And we're surviving spiritually on one meal of the preaching and teaching of God's word. And if you eat just one nutritious meal a week, how do you think your energy is going to be? How do you think your health is going to be? See? One speaker described the American church as being on life support. He said the American church is on life support, starved because of spiritual malnutrition. Now, physically, when someone is malnutrition, the body begins to consume itself. The body begins to eat on itself until death ensues. And some of the symptoms of malnutrition are tiredness, lethargy, depression, bitterness, complacency, and isolation. And even though these are symptoms of physical malnutrition, they are also a portrayal of the spiritual condition of malnutrition. When someone is spiritually malnutrition, they lack spiritual vitality, spiritual energy. When someone is spiritually malnutrition, they don't have victory. They have that down feeling. They don't have victory. When someone is spiritually malnutrition, they don't have passion for more of God. They don't have passion to evangelize the lost. They don't have passion to minister and serve God. They only live for themselves, and they live in isolation. They may attend church on Sunday morning, but they are not connected to the church. They are in spiritual isolation from the body of Christ. All the symptoms of physical malnutrition are also present when we are spiritually malnutrition. And the end result of physical malnutrition is death. And the end result of spiritual malnutrition is spiritual death. Is it any wonder that three times Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. But folks, we can set the banquet table. We can set it Sunday morning. We can set it during Sunday school. We can set it Sunday evening. We can set it Wednesday night. We can set it in life groups other times during the week. But if you don't come and sit at the table and eat what has been provided, it is of no benefit. Folks, without the consistent preaching and teaching of God's word, we die spiritually. Maybe a slow death, but we die spiritually. We need to evaluate our spiritual diet and ask ourselves, what have I been eating lately? And how often have I been eating the preaching and teaching of God's word? So the first element of spiritual fitness is a balanced diet of the word of God in personal devotions and in the sound teaching and preaching of God's word. The second element of spiritual fitness requires regular exercise. Regular exercise. Paul tells Timothy in the second part of verse 7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, Paul often used athletic imagery to illustrate the need for spiritual discipline. Here he uses the Greek word gymnazo, gymnazo. You probably identified it. It's the root of our English word gymnasium. And it means to exercise or train ourselves. And it is a reference to the gymnastic exercise used by the Greeks in training for the original Olympic Games called the Athenian Games. And the tense of the verb indicates that this is an ongoing pursuit, not a one-time effort. We are continually training ourselves in godliness. To be spiritually fit, we must train at godliness day after day after day in our daily walk with the Lord. What does that mean? Well, to be spiritually fit requires the exercise of obedience. The exercise of obedience. It's not just enough to hear the word or to know the word. We must do the word. The exercise of obedience. Now, you see, you can know that you need to exercise. You can even know what every machine in the gym does. This one works out your triceps. This one works out your biceps. This one works out your calf muscle. This one works. You can know what every machine in the gym does. But unless you get out there and do it, how many of you know it's of no benefit whatsoever? And James 1:22 says this. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Folks, having a piece of exercise equipment in your house or having a gym membership and never going is only deceiving yourself. Everybody else can tell you're not losing weight. Everybody else can tell you're not building muscle. Everybody else can tell you're not fit. Amen? So the only person you're deceiving is yourself. Oh, bless God, I have an abdominizer in my house. Hallelujah, I'm fit. When's the last time you used it? You got clothes hanging all over it. Y'all laughing because you know it's true. I like Nike's motto. Nike's motto is just do it. Just get out there and do it. Folks, we just gotta do it. We've got to practice the word. When we practice the word, that includes things like abstaining from what is evil and doing what is good is what the scripture encourages us to do. The Bible is not just a bunch of thou shalt nots, but it's filled with a lot more thou shalt. See, the Bible tells us to abstain from what is evil, but to hold fast that which is good. There's a lot of positive things in the Bible. In fact, if we spent our time doing all the thou shalts, we wouldn't have any time for the thou shalt nots. And every time we choose to obey, we choose to avoid what is bad and do what is good, we are building up spiritual muscle. We are getting stronger spiritually. Every time we choose to act in faith, even when we don't understand why God's word would ask us to do this or that, we are building up spiritual muscle and we are getting stronger spiritually. We need the exercise of obedience regularly in our life. That means we hear a sermon on Sunday morning and we don't just say amen and go home and forget about it. But we hear a sermon on Sunday morning and we do it. We do it. If not, it is of no value to us whatsoever. See, if you hear the sermon this morning and you don't come back to church tonight, you don't do it, it's of no value whatsoever. You heard it, you said amen, you got excited, you went home. It's of no value whatsoever. I can go through the gym, walk through the gym, look at every machine, touch every machine. It's of no value whatsoever if I don't work out. I just walk out. Hallelujah. And some of us, we just walk through church. We walk in with our Bible under one hand. We touch a few people. We touch a few chairs. Put our Bible back under our hand. And we walk out. Hallelujah. None of you all the 11 o'clock folks. Hallelujah. Don't tell them I said that. We need to exercise obedience. And then to be spiritually fit requires the exercise of service. Been preaching on that for 6 weeks now. Question is, have we been exercising it? Hallelujah. Have we been doing it? Now, food is fuel. We said that earlier, right? Food is fuel. It provides energy to our body. But when we eat that food, it is supposed to be converted into energy as it is burned off in activity. Without activity, the food is not converted to energy. It is converted to Boy, y'all get an A. Who said that? Amen. If we don't exercise and we just eat, the food is not converted to energy and burned off. It is converted to fat and it is stored. Folks, if you just eat, and I'm telling you, whether I'm preaching or Pastor Jose's preaching or Pastor Anna's preaching, there is a feast. There is a feast of the nutritional balanced diet of God's word. And if you walk away from here empty, it's not because the feast was not provided. But if you feast it and you do nothing with it, it turns into spiritual fat. Churches are full of Christians who are full of the word of God, but they aren't doing anything with it. And they're spiritually. I like a song, Amy Grant had many years ago. Christian song titled Fat, Fat Baby. Any of you remember that? Fat, Fat Baby. Well, I won't sing it for you, but I'll remind you of the lyrics. It says, I know a man, maybe you know him too. You never can tell, he might even be you. He knelt at the altar, and that was the end. He saved, and that's all that matters to him. His spiritual tummy, it can't take too much. One day a week, he gets a spiritual lunch. One day he puts on his spiritual best and gives his language a spiritual rest. He's just a fat, fat baby. And see, there's a lot of spiritual truth to that. We come to church once a week. We eat, don't do anything with it. We get spiritually fat, and we remain a baby. We remain spiritually immature. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There's got to be a hunger for more of God's word so that we can grow, not so that we can stay the same. Folks, if we want to be spiritually fit, if we want to grow spiritually, we've got to move beyond just coming to church once a week and receiving the bread of the word. We've got to get active doing what God has called us to do, and in that activity, the bread is converted into energy. It is converted into spiritual power for us to grow. We've got to get active doing what God has called us to do. We've got to get active leading others to Christ. We've got to get active discipling others. We've got to get active carrying out God's mission. We've got to get active ministering to others. Listen to what Paul says in verse 6. I'm going back to verse 6. If you instruct the brethren, if you teach the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister, the word servant, of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. If you, Timothy, teach others, you'll not only be a good minister of Christ, but you will be nourished. What's he saying? He's saying that as we minister to others, we are nourished up. We grow spiritually. Who's getting nourished in this verse? Timothy. As he teaches, as he ministers. Folks, I've said it before, but it bears repeating. You'll never grow spiritually as much as when you are ministering to others. That's why in the scripture, God called every one of us to be involved in ministry. And he said, when we're involved in ministry, we will all grow up into the fullness of the image of the stature of Christ. We need to be ministering in order to be growing. If you're not ministering, you're stagnating, not growing. You see, when you're ministering, you have to feed yourself in order to feed others. And ministering to others stretches you. See, you need to stretch when you're exercising. It stretches you to live as an example because others are looking at you. And it stretches your character because as you're dealing with others with different personalities, different levels of spiritual development, different levels of carnality, you have to grow. You have to grow in patience. You have to grow in kindness. You have to grow in love. You have to grow in self-control. When you're dealing with other people, you have to grow. It stretches you to grow in every area of your life. It forces you to grow. That's why we need the exercise of service, the exercise of ministry. And the Bible tells us that we need it to grow. We can't grow without it. You can't grow to the fullness of the image of the stature of Christ just coming to church and sitting on a pew once a week. Jesus tells us you can't grow to the fullness of the image of the stature of Christ unless you are involved in ministry. That's word. That's not Pastor Maria. You read it in Ephesians 4 and elsewhere in Scripture. And then thirdly, getting spiritually fit requires restorative rest. Restorative rest. Now, restorative rest is not the same as doing nothing. It's not the same as just chilling. It's not the same as, you know, laying back in the easy chair and watching TV. In fact, you can do all of that and still be tired, still be drained. Restorative rest is that which replenishes your soul. Restorative rest is that which renews your strength and revitalizes your spirit. Restorative rest involves two practices, solitude and prayer. And we see both reflected in Jesus' life. Matthew 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Even though crowds were looking for him, he went to a solitary place where he prayed. And the Bible tells us this was Jesus' regular habit. He knew the secret to spiritual fitness. To be spiritually fit, we need to practice solitude. And solitude is a voluntary withdrawal for a time from people and the busyness and distractions of life to be alone with God, to be in his presence. Because it is in his presence that our strength is renewed. It's not in the presence of the TV or the presence of the computer or the presence of our friends that our strength is renewed. It is in his presence that our strength is renewed. And solitude, unfortunately, is a lost practice today because our lives are so hectic. But I want you to notice that even though a crowd of thousands was looking for Jesus to heal their sick, he slipped away. He had a lot of pressures, a lot of demands, but he slipped away. And solitude is a lost practice today because our lives are so hectic with chores to be done, people to see, TV shows to watch. And now, you know, with DVR, you can record your whole season of your favorite show and you can have a marathon just to watch your whole season that you missed. And then, of course, there are Facebook posts that you have to make and tweets that you have to send and statuses that you have to read to keep up with what's going on in everybody else's life. And on the cycle goes. And we are like Martha, busy, busy with so many things that we have no time to sit at Jesus' feet. But it is only in his presence that our strength is renewed. They that wait upon the TV shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the iPad shall renew their strength. No, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to wait upon the Lord. And with that solitude of getting into God's presence, it is also often accompanied by silence. It's where we meditate and reflect to hear. Be still and know that I am God. We need to hear. And meet with God's presence. Meditate on his word. When we meditate on his word, we are like a tree planted that brings forth fruit in all seasons. And whatsoever we do is prosperous because we have been meditating. And in his presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. That's where our joy is renewed. To be spiritually fit, we need to practice prayer. So we need to practice solitude and we need to practice prayer. See, notice that solitude and prayer are two different things. We may pray during a time of solitude, but solitude also has that time of silence. Because a lot of times what we do is we rush into God with this big list of prayer that we have. Do this, meet this need, touch this person. And then we rush back out. And we're just as tired as before because we didn't wait in God's presence. We didn't meet with God. We didn't hear from God. We didn't soak in God's presence. To be spiritually fit, we need to practice prayer. The hymn writer expressed it well. The rest that our soul finds through prayer, in the words of that whole hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. It says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We can worry and stress ourselves by carrying the burdens of life, or we can cast them all on Jesus and find rest for our weary souls. Let me ask you a question this morning and be honest with yourself. How spiritually fit are you? Are you spiritually malnutritioned, or are you nourished up in words of faith and in the solid teaching and preaching of God's word? Are you spiritually fit or flabby? Are you lean or active? Are you exercising obedience and exercising ministry? And are you depleted or defeated? Or are you rested and revitalized? How spiritually fit are you? I want you to reflect on that a moment, and then I want you to identify in your life one area that you need to start working on right away. See, we can't do all of it at one time. But let's say this is the area I need to work most on right now. Whether it's spiritual nutrition, getting a balanced diet, being more regular in the house of God, maybe that will be your commitment today. Or maybe it's exercise. Maybe what you need to do is to exercise obedience to what you're learning, or you need to exercise ministry, servanthood. Start getting involved in ministering to others. Or maybe what you need to commit yourself today is to the practices of restorative rest, if you're not already doing that, taking time away in solitude. Now, that's not to say we don't need to be doing all three of these things that we've spoken about this morning, but we need a starting place. We need a starting place. So I want you to take a moment, reflect on your spiritual fitness, and take a moment to decide what area you're going to commit to begin this week working towards spiritual fitness. Or greater spiritual fitness in your life. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for your word this morning, because your word is the words of life. Your word gives us instruction to life, Lord God, to the life that you have called us to, Lord God. And Father, I pray that indeed today we would not be hearers of the word only, but that we would be doers of the word, that we would put into practice the word that we are hearing this morning, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts, that you would help us to see ourselves, the level of our spiritual fitness as it really is. Let us not deceive our own selves, Lord God, but let us look at our lives honestly and show us ourselves honestly, Lord God. And Father, help us this morning to make a commitment to move beyond where we are to a greater level of spiritual fitness. Lord, move in our lives today in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to speak first to those that might be here that you do not yet have a personal and living relationship with Jesus Christ, because we can't talk about being spiritually fit until we have first been born again spiritually. And being born again spiritually, that's the beginning of spiritual life. Before that time, the Bible says we are spiritually dead in our trespasses and sin. So the beginning point of spiritual life, before we can even talk about being spiritually fit, is coming to Christ and placing our faith in him, repenting of our sins, and asking him to be the Lord of our life. And that's the starting point, not an ending point, a starting point of a lifelong journey of walking with Christ. And if you're here today, you may have heard about Jesus many times before, and in your mind might have even agreed that what you heard was true, but you personally never responded to it. And today, Jesus is calling you to respond to him. If we don't respond, then what Jesus did on the cross, his dying, his rising again from the dead, is of no benefit to us. But when we respond, then his sacrifice is effective to cleanse us of all of our sins. And his resurrection is effective to give us new life. And so if you're here today and you have never personally responded to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to place your faith in him, to ask him to forgive you of your sins, and to welcome him as the Lord of your life, or maybe you did it many years ago and you have drifted away and you need to come back to him, then he invites you to come this morning and be born again. Begin that journey of spiritual life. If you're here today and you want to come to Christ, would you just lift your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor Maria. I want spiritual life. I want to be born again. I want to be in relationship with God. Is there anyone this morning? Hallelujah. I'm going to assume then that we are all believers. And every single one of us needs to grow spiritually, needs to become more spiritually fit. Every single one. And if you've been honest with yourself today, if you're not deceiving yourself, then you will see areas in your life that you need to work on with God's help to grow in your spiritual fitness. And I'm going to ask you today to
come to this altar and commit to one of these areas that we've spoken of, that this week you're going to start working in one of these areas that we've spoken of. Maybe it's that area of a balanced spiritual diet, of being in the house of God more frequently, so that we can be nourished up in the preaching and teaching of God's word. Or maybe it's in the area of exercise, the exercise of obedience, the exercise of ministry, of serving. Or maybe it's in the area of restorative rest, waiting in the Lord's presence, that practice of solitude, that practice of prayer. And this week, you say, I'm going to start by taking 5 minutes a day to be in the Lord's presence. Or you're going to say, this week I'm going to start by coming back to church on Sunday night or on Wednesday night. I'm going to start working in this area of my life. Come to this altar and make a commitment to take a step towards spiritual fitness this week by working in one of these areas that we have spoken of. You know the area that the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart about right now. And I encourage you just to lift your voice to Him and make that commitment to Him. Heavenly Father, we just come before You right now, Lord God. And Father, I just thank You for each of these that is humbling their heart before Your word and allowing Your word to truly be that mirror to show us ourselves, Lord God, as we really are. Father, we pray, Lord God, and that as we stand before You this morning, that You would help us in the commitments that we're making today. Because even though we make these commitments to You, we know that our flesh is weak, but our spirit is willing. We need the help of Your Holy Spirit to follow through. It is so much easier, Lord God. Instead of coming back to church on Sunday night, it's so much easier to sit back in the easy chair and watch TV. It is so much easier, Lord God, rather than taking time to pray, to just get on Facebook and read a few statuses or even a few scripture postings, Lord God. But Father, we're not going to go the easy way. We're going to go the way that brings spiritual growth and spiritual fitness. And we're going to commit ourselves in these areas to You today. And we're going to ask Your Holy Spirit to help us to actually live out the commitment that we make to You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.